We need a new intro for this year, though.
All right, we'll work on it.
Consider it done, Rob.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
Look, I would suspect that we don't see Malik Willis throw the ball down the field a whole lot, especially early, but it would not surprise me if we got back to more of the quick West Coast stuff.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I was overly harsh about Gabe's golf game because I played terrible yesterday.
It's funny.
It's Rob Domofsky.
This better be a great segment.
On Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Let's get serious around here. Time to talk about some green and gold taking on the Bears this weekend. Rob, Joshy had a really unique way of looking at this past weekend when the Packers were idle, obviously on the bye. He said that the cracks you saw with the Lions and the Vikings and the Bears just being really, really bad and the Jets LOL was sort of a de facto win for the Packers this weekend. Can you buy that theory? Because I'm kind of right there with him. Like, yes, the Vikings won, and yes, the Lions won. You would have probably preferred the other outcomes in both of those games.
Right.
But as bad as they both looked, it feels like there were some good things happening for the green and gold, even with them not playing.
I can see why Josh floated that theory, and I get it. But on the flip side, the Lions and Vikings both won those games, and sometimes winning a game ugly can do a lot for a team as well. You know, like you can be like, boy, we know we got lucky there and, you know, we got to step it up and clean some things up. So if I were the Packers, I'd feel a heck of a lot better if one or both of those teams had lost. But, you know, maybe Goff got his bad game out of the way, you know, and maybe the Vikings will figure it out. I do think the Bears at this point are probably headed in the wrong direction and a lost cause. So. You know, although you're going into that place this weekend, so you can never take anything for granted.
Does it scare you a little bit, Rob, the way they got embarrassed at home? And the Bears always win ugly. Like, I think the Packers win, but I think the fact that they were embarrassed, unless they've already quit on right. Eberflus, then I would have felt better if they beat the Patriots, even though, you know, both teams are.
Yeah, like you're going into a wounded animal a little bit, Chewy,
yeah.
If you're the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I see what I feel you. Like I've said before, though, like I really think momentum is a big thing in this league and in sports in general. And Bears don't have it, man. I mean, they don't have any of it. So I think the Packers are in a pretty darn good situation coming off a bye, you know, going in there. I really do.
Rob, you had the piece last week, ESPN.com, about the four things the Packers needed to fix to make a run into the playoffs. Those four things being Jordan Love's interceptions, drops, penalties, and the pass rush. Which one of those four do you think is the most likely to get fixed coming out of the bye?
I think the interceptions are probably going to just be a thing they're going to have to deal with. Drops is probably not the most critical. I guess I would say penalties. That's probably the easiest thing to correct, Gabe, because those are discipline things, right? Those are focus issues, technique issues. You know, they're going to get back to practice today. It's a little bit sort of a bonus practice. You know, you don't normally obviously practice on Monday. And I would have to think there's going to be a lot of individual periods spent on technique and things like that. The other thing, too, maybe they have to use a little bit less of Jordan Love's hard count and cadence to get the offensive line, you know, to stop false. And it's actually not even the offensive line. I mean, we saw false starts from a running back and a receiver last week. So I would say that's probably the easiest fix. I don't think Jordan Love's going to end up with 20 interceptions. You know, I don't think he's going to double what he's got. But I think they might have to live with a few more of those.
Rob Domofsky hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Okay, I'm looking at the Packers' schedule, and ahead of them, they obviously have the Bears game. We've talked about that. Then they've got the 49ers, then the Dolphins, and the Lions. This four-game stretch feels very critical for the Green Bay Packers. And I'm looking at the Miami Dolphins right now. They're taking on the Rams tonight. Rams are 2.5-point favorites at home tonight. The Dolphins have only won two games this season.
Right.
If you had to guess their record over the next four games, how they'll go in that four-game stretch, what would you say right now?
You know, San Francisco is kind of the wild card in there, right? Like, Packers have, you know, had trouble with them before out there. More of this game is here. So, I mean, I would say at worst they're 2-2 in that stretch with losses to, you know, San Francisco and Detroit. I think 3-1 is reasonable. I don't, you know, I definitely think San Francisco is beatable. The way the Detroit game went, I don't see them going there winning, but I would have told you the same thing last year on Thanksgiving, and they start the game with the deep pass to Christian Watson and basically never looked back.
Rob, you had a pass rush as one of your four. We didn't even talk about it. Is that because we're resigned to they are what they are? I mean, I don't see them getting any better. Yeah. No one's going to develop the hump in the next 3 weeks.
No, you're right. That's why, Chewy, it's on the coaching staff to come up with something, right?
Like, yeah.
they've been creative with some of their pressure packages. Like we talked about before, like, they blitzed linebackers and safeties, but that doesn't always mean they actually rush five. They might, their rush five or more percentage is, I think, second or third lowest in the league the last time I looked before the games this weekend. They might just have to send five or more more often. I mean, like, you cannot sit there and let quarterbacks pick you apart, good quarterbacks anyway. And they still have some good quarterbacks coming up. You know, I still think Purdy's a really good quarterback. You know, we don't know necessarily about the Miami situation. Detroit, you know, Minnesota again, they've got some good quarterbacks that they're playing. You know, and you just can't let good players sit back there and pick you apart. The time allowed in the pocket is just way too much, and time the quarterbacks are having to throw, whether inside or outside the pocket, it's just you can't play winning defense that way.
So with that, Preston Smith traded away at the deadline, Rob, why do you think Goody didn't say during his press conference that, yeah, Preston came to us, requested a trade, and instead let that be known once he arrived in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting, Gabe. I mean, oftentimes, as you guys know, the Packers don't like to air players' businesses. Like, when it comes to injuries, you know, they say, hey, you know, he's going to be out, but you need to ask the player about it. You know, maybe they didn't want to air Preston's dirty laundry. But I think it would make the trade a little bit more understandable from the Packers' standpoint, you know. And I'm surprised that they didn't leak it, even if Gutekunst didn't want to get up there and say it. You know, sometimes they'll leak a little bit of an explanation behind the scenes. So I'm a little bit surprised at that. You know, the only thing, and I'm not saying Preston's not telling the truth, but could Preston be trying to save face a little bit too? And, you know, who knows? You know, like, could he have maybe didn't ask for a trade, but he gets traded and he's feeling hurt about it and feeling unwanted, and, you know, maybe that's why he said it. I don't know. I'm just floating that as a possible theory. But I do think it's a little surprising that they didn't honor off the record sort of explain what went into the trade, if that is indeed what happened.
Rob Domofsky is on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy with us this Monday morning. Okay, one of the things we have talked about is the MVP and the LVP for the first half of the season. Who has been the Packers' MVP, the most valuable player, contributing to where they are in the records? And who has been the LVP? We got some candidates here. Stokes, Gary, LVN, Clark. Who do you think has been the MVP and the LVP of the first half of the season?
Man, I swear, I've said this to you, Jen, before. I think you get our ESPN NFL Nation emails because our assignment for this week's
You know what I am? I'm Rob, ESPN Medium is what
time.
I am.
Rob, we've known she's gotten those emails for years because she cheats all the time when we do power rankings on Tuesday, so it makes a lot of sense.
So our power ranking blurb assignment this week is, who is the non-quarterback MVP of the midseason mark for the team you cover? So, like, to me, I haven't done the assignment yet because I've been thinking about it. They send this out as soon as the Sunday night game is over. We get this email. Not that anybody needs to know when we get our emails, but my initial thought was for the MVP, obviously said non-quarterback, was Xavier McKinney. I still like what Josh Jacobs has done for them. I really do. It's interesting that the two guys I'm considering, and maybe there's others that I need to consider, are the free agent additions. I think the other way, the other least valuable, I think Rashawn Gary is the runaway in that. I mean, he just, when, you know, maybe shouldn't hold a guy's contract and salary against him, but when you know, pay a guy that kind of money and the production is what it's been, you know, that's hugely disappointing. You know, they'd rather, you know, Stokes, you know, they'd rather not have to play him as much as they are. I still wonder about Van Ness of you know, when he's going to maybe hit the split the switch and sort of become what they hope he is. But to me, it's Rashawn Gary. And at this point, Xavier McKinney, but I'm open to consider other possibilities on the MVP side.
Rob, do you agree with Goody's philosophy when he says, you know, one of the reasons for shipping Preston Smith out is these young guys need reps to make them better? I don't buy it.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
I mean, if you're good, you play. If you're good, you play.
That's right? Exactly what I was going to say. I don't buy it because I'm not sure there's anybody back there that that has just been unbelievable, and you got to get him more snaps. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Mosby had a half a sack in his first playing time the other day, but you know, I'm not saying all of a sudden, wow, Aaron Mosby, we got to get him 35 snaps a game. I don't. To me, I just don't see where pass rush comes without the coaching staff, you know, dialing something up.
Rob, before we let you go. Last night, I went to the Hollywood Medium at the Riverside. It's this young man, Tyler Henry. He's Netflix famous, Celebrity World famous. And these guys were raking me over the coals for it, man.
I mean, raking him over the coals, I guess, because you went to the show, but adjacent you were being
basically telling me I'm a sucker, basically telling me I'm a mark. Good job handing this guy your $45 per ticket.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Did you pay or were you comped?
We paid for our tickets.
You hesitated there.
You're saying it would have been better if we hadn't paid for our tickets?
Trust me, I'm not one to shy away from a guest list or a guest pass here or there. So
you could have went to Blockbuster and got Fletch Lives for probably $3.
At what Blockbuster, too?
Been a little more expensive to get the DeLorean to go back in time to go to Blockbuster.
I know at one time I definitely owned Fletch on VHS. I don't know if I owned Fletch, but I definitely
almost saved you $3.
We had five movies when I was a sophomore in college, and we had no cable in our dorm. We had five movies on VHS that we just rotated. I'm pretty sure it was Fletch, Goodfellas, Bull Durham, About Last Night, and don't judge me for this, because if one of us happened to actually have a date, we had When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, a great
movie.
There you
go. That's a pretty good rotation.
That's a good rotation.
That's it for five films?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good five films.
At one time, I could probably recite every line from all five of them, because we just played them over and over again.
I love that. Dan wants to know if anyone has an oceanfront property in Arizona they'd like to sell Jed this morning. All right, Rob, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Always good stuff, and we very much look forward to this week. It is Bears Week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy and ESPN Milwaukee, and that never disappoints. See you, Rob.
All right, have a great week.
Oh, what is Mike McCarthy the trivia answer to up there on GetUp?
The coach who has the most active wins inside AT&T Stadium as a visitor.
Oh, okay.
So he's won three times there as a visiting
head
coach.
What's LaFleur? He's got
LaFleur's got just the one.
Just one last year. He'll have more.
Yeah.
Tis the season for celebrating at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Join them in this holiday season for special events to get you in the festive mood. From a spectacular brunch with Santa to the holiday marketplace and one-of-a-kind dinner and a show experiences, St. Kate has a celebration happening nearly every week through the holiday season. You can also make a night of it and extend the experience by booking an overnight stay at St. Kate. Special packages are now available. Celebrate the holidays with St. Kate. Learn more by visiting stkatearts.com/holidays.